No, Chris is, I mean, Pastor Kirk told me a little bit what he's going to preach on. No, he didn't, but I have a good idea. He talked about faith. And before I introduce him, I just want to say this, that when David was facing his Goliath, his giant, all he did was he had a sling. But it wasn't just a sling. It was the five smooth stones that he picked up. F-A-I-T-H. F-A-I-T-H, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And David, in his faith, he faced that giant. And what God was just speaking to my heart about, no matter how big the giant is in your life, we're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. We're conquerors. We're winners. There isn't a loser in the house. Amen. Every last one of us are winners, but it's my honor to introduce to you Reverend Kurt and Debbie Holtis. And if you don't know Kurt and Debbie, they pastored a church for 20 years, and then they were called out into the mission field. And it's kind of, I want to follow the Lord spoke to me this morning about, hey, these folks have been through something that I'm calling you to, and pay attention. And so many times we get so caught up in things that are going around us, we don't pay attention to what's right in front of us. And God said he brought somebody from Florida just to minister to our hearts and lives. Amen? God cares about every last one of you. So it's my honor to introduce to you to Reverend Kurt and Debbie Holtis. Amen?
Thank you. Here's your mic.
I just want to take a minute and say thank you guys so much for having us. It was so exciting because when we had scheduled to come, it has been a couple years since we've been here, and we miss you guys. It's like we're on the road and we're being busy, and then we come and we see familiar faces, and we stay connected on Facebook. And I just want to say thank you so much for letting us be part of your family, for praying for us, for supporting us. If you don't know, you guys are monthly supporters of Hope International. So anything that he shares today that Hope International has done, you guys did. You were part of that. And so I continue to pray for the missionaries that you support and the missionaries that God brings across your path, that you are making an eternal difference in people's lives here in the U.S., but also across the world. So thank you so much.
Now, wait a second, Debbie, before you leave, you need to tell me now, which package of M&Ms best describes me?
Well, actually, I took the peanuts because I like it, but he's the nutty one of the two. So he took the plain, which is shocking. So.
Yes.
You need another mic, use this one.
Well, I admit I'm a little bit nutty. I guess I am a little bit nutty. But we are grateful for your support over the years and blessed by Pastor and his wife. They have become dear friends of ours, and we always love coming up here and sharing the Word of God with you. Just to let you know that this last year was an incredible year. Actually, in June, we got back the 5th of July from the Dominican Republic. And for 10 days, we had 213 doctors, nurses, and surgeons, evangelism personnel, construction personnel in the Dominican Republic, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, spreading the compassion of Christ on the entire North Shore of the Dominican Republic. And during that five-day period of clinics, five clinics that we held, we saw over 3,000 nationals. We actually put glasses. Now, we just don't see them. We examine and treat them. And then we also somewhere around 400 and some odd people came through and received glasses. And we had ophthalmologists with us. We had dentists with us. Teeth were flying everywhere, I'm telling you right now. Some 370 teeth were pulled that week, and they did fluoride treatment, they did teeth cleaning. I mean, these are people that most of them have never, ever owned a toothbrush before in their entire lives. And here a medical team comes in and shares something very practical to them, with them. You know, before you can actually share Christ with people, sometimes you have to deal with their practical needs. I mean, if somebody comes to you and says, I'm hungry, you don't say, well, let me tell you about Jesus. You give them something to eat, and while they're eating and after they're done, you say, you know what, let me tell you how that was made possible for me to give you that food. It was because of Christ. Sometimes we need to meet the physical needs of people's lives before they'll open up their heart to the true spiritual needs that they have in their lives. And we're so grateful that you have given us that ability to go to the Dominican Republic. We also had a pastor's conference in which we had over 500 pastors, national pastors, and leaders. We were able to speak into their hearts the Word of God and help to further equip them for the ministry that God had called them to. Something else that we did is we built a church. Our construction team did something in 4 days. I'm serious. In 4 days that they said would take at least 3 weeks to do. And so we're really excited. But the best part of it all is that we saw over 600 people come to know Jesus as their Savior. Can you say praise the Lord? That's what it's all about. Seeing people's lives changed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we want you to know that in the foyer, on a table, we have a table out there, you'll find these connect cards, contact cards. Please fill one out. If you'd like to receive further information about Hope International, like to be kept up to date on what Hope International is doing, please fill one of these out, and then you tear off this part, and you keep it in your Bible, and you pray for us. Also, there are prayer cards out in the foyer on the table as well. They look like this. You can pick one up. It's got our website on it. Everything that's going on with Hope International, it has a lot of media, a lot of videos, everyday updates. Every day while we were in the Dominican Republic this year, we produced a video that encapsulated that day's ministry. Actually, about 7 to 8 minutes each day of video is on there, high def video, and you'll enjoy watching it. You'll almost feel like you're right there with us in the midst of it. And also, we'd like to let you know that there's an opportunity for you to join us next year, 2014, June 24th through July 1st, June 24th through July 1st in the Dominican Republic. You can be a part of our team, but you'll need to get in contact with us quickly so that we can keep a spot for you. Those spots will go fast. We take up an entire resort, and we use the entire resort for our team housing right on the North Shore, right on the ocean. Great place. Pastor's been there. He can tell you it's beautiful. And so we invite you to join us in the Dominican Republic 2014. I'd like to show with you a little clip. Actually, it's about 3 minutes of the last 10 years of ministry of Hope International in the Dominican Republic. If you go ahead and roll that. Across the United States dared to dream with us. They believed in us, in the mission and vision of Hope International Ministries, and they began supporting us in so many ways. With the involvement of 202 churches and 1,496 individual team members from 6 countries and 28 different states, Hope International has accomplished the following in the last 10 years of ministry. Examined and treated more than 36,537 Dominicans, performed more than 270 major surgeries, examined and fitted just over 3,589 people with eyeglasses, treated over 1,410 dental patients, pulling more than 1,647 teeth, built 11 playgrounds for the children in the villages of Sosua, doubled the classroom size of a Christian school in Sosua that we support, accommodating 200 children from the ages of 5 to 16 years old that had never been to school before in their lives. Conducted 13 pastors' conferences, pouring into the hearts and lives of more than 3,650 national pastors. Supplied the nationals with 8,200 Bibles. Distributed approximately $15.5 million in donated clothing, toys, shoes, flip-flops, school supplies, toothbrushes and toothpaste, and Bibles. Distributed more than $51 million of medicine and medical equipment to the people of this needy country, donated by the generous people of the United States of America.
We totally equipped and supplied all the medicine and equipment for the clinic at Trinity Assembly of God in Santo Domingo for the last 6 years, enabling them to provide quality health care to thousands of poor people in the capital city. Best of all, almost 14,000 people have given their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ and have been funneled into the local churches of the Sosua and Puerto Plata area of the Dominican Republic. Let me say thank you to each and every one of you for partnering together with us to take physical and spiritual hope, help, and healing to hurting humanity in the Dominican Republic. Dios le bendiga. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Amen. So that gives you a little insight into what we've been doing with our lives. Half the year we're in the Dominican Republic, it seems. Half of the year, part of the year we're at home in Fort Myers, Florida. And the other half of the year, like this next 4 months, we have just started. We'll be on the road in the motor coach, traveling all across the United States, preaching in churches and meeting with medical professionals and hospitals across the United States. Last year, between August and December, we saw almost 600 people come to know Jesus as their Savior in our services. So this is a very important time for us. So please be praying with us and believing with us. How many of you like coffee? All right. I'm giving you an opportunity today to have something better than Starbucks ever thought of having. Out in the foyer, we brought some coffee back from the Dominican Republic. It's for sale out there. My wife will see you after the service. It helps us with the fuel for the motor coach. It's $15 a pound, and it's incredible. We just brought it back from the Dominican Republic, so please get a prayer card, a contact card. Pick up some coffee on your way out tonight, and you'll enjoy it. You really, really will. Now, let's get into the Word of God. How many of you are ready for the Word? If you want to please God. Now, Pastor started preaching my message, and I was starting to like, okay, Pastor, this is not what you're supposed to do. But if you want to please God, you must have faith. There we go. Because Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes before God must believe that he is, not that he exists. Let me tell you something. People across this nation believe that there's a God. But you got to do more than just believe that he's a God, that he exists. But you've got to believe that he is who he said he is. And that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You see, the older I get, the more I understand how critical it is in this journey that we're all on called life, that the goal, our aim in life ought to be to stay in agreement with God and to stay aligned with him and his word. And if we're going to be people that walk by faith, it requires that we grow accustomed to living life with this tension of there being a difference sometimes between what we experience and what we expect. Huh? How many of you are outdoorsmen? Anybody here like to fish? Like to hunt? I have been watching for the deer. They have not showed up. I'm a hunter. I like to go out hunting. When I climb up in my tree with my bow, what I am expecting is that monster buck to come walking under my deer stand. How many of you understand that rarely do I experience that? Sometimes what we expect differs from what we experience. And you see, faith is all about the unseen realm, because sometimes what I see differs from what I have revelation of in my heart and my life. So I've got to grow accustomed to living with this tension, all the time believing, say believing. All the time believing that which I have revelation of, I have title deed to. That it's mine, even though it hasn't been manifested in my hand yet, even though I haven't seen it with my eyes, I have it by revelation, so I know it belongs to me. Say it belongs to me. Now, I know this doesn't make sense to some people, but it does make God sense. So this tension that I've been talking about is actually a fight. It's the fight of faith. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, fight the good fight of faith. Because people who are believing constantly live with this tension between that which we have revelation of and that which is manifest. And when the two come together, we see and we experience fulfilled promises. However, there are seasons, which could be days, could be months, could be years, even long seasons of time, when that which I know, which I believe, that which I have revelation of, I'm just not seeing. And we can get discouraged. But God wants us to be people that have faith rooted so deeply in our hearts, that it doesn't matter how long it takes, friends, to see revelation become reality. We are just going to keep on believing. You see, I believe that God took us to the Dominican Republic to win that nation to Him. That is the revelation that He has given me in my heart and my life. So it doesn't matter what I see with my human eyes. I'm going to hold on to the revelation that He has placed in my heart and my life, and I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. You see, God didn't promise us a cakewalk. This is a fight, friends. It's a fight with the powers of darkness on behalf of an entire nation. And the goal is worth every battle that we face. Why? How can I say that? Because I believe. I believe. I believe. Say that with me. I believe. You see, the faith walk that God has called all of you to sometimes is not easy. Life isn't easy. You hear that from people all the time. It's the truth. Sometimes life isn't easy. It isn't easy. Life in the kingdom sometimes isn't easy. But if you'll live it walking in faith and not by sight, you are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loved you and gave Himself for you. Not will be, you are. Present tense right now. Now hear me. The enemy of your souls has a goal. And that goal is to silence the sound of faith in your life. And here's why. Because there's an inerrant force in sound. There's an inerrant force in sound. Sound waves hold incredible power. Stand in front of the subwoofers here in this church. Let that music start pounding. And the force of the sound waves can visibly be seen as those speakers move in and out, in and out. And you can feel it as well. Everything shakes. And it doesn't have anything to do with the volume, friends. However, the intensity of those waves depends upon the frequency of the sound and the air that it pushes. You don't feel the volume, but rather the force of the sound waves pushing something, that's air, pushing something in the unseen realm. Why? Because there is an inerrant force in sound. Turn the frequency a little bit higher, and the sound waves can actually break glass. How many of you are old enough to remember that commercial? Ah! Is it Memorex, or is it live, or is it? I gave the answer. The medical community actually uses sound waves to break up kidney stones still inside the human body. Why? Because there is an inerrant force in sound. And when that force is joined with faith, it moves things in the unseen realm or dimension. And it becomes a sound that moves mountains and sets captives free. You see, Satan would like nothing more this morning than to silence the sound of faith in your life. Never before in the history of the church have we experienced the enemy unleashing such attacks and all of hell's forces against the believer to silence the believer and the sound of faith. You see, before you're even saved, Satan tried to silence you. In Acts chapter 2, verse 21, it says, whosoever calls... That's a sound. When you call, that's a sound. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So before you even made a profession of faith, Satan tried to silence you. Now I want to show you a little clip from last year's trip in the Dominican Republic. Not this year, but last year's trip in the Dominican Republic, if you guys are ready up there. It's a little clip that's going to show you a little 12-year-old girl in the Dominican Republic. And this girl, a deaf mute, has never heard, never spoke before in her lives, but at the end of the clip, you're going to see her mouth move, and you're going to see her saying mama for the first time in her life. Go ahead and show that clip, if you would. Here it comes. Brought to you by Sony.
They couldn't afford to even give her sign language classes. We just prayed over her, and God restored her hearing. She's going to learn to speak, but she's responding to sounds. Praise God. We are so thankful. This is why we're here. So thankful for this family.
Well, it got half of the clip. But anyways, what happened is that little girl, 12 years old, she came in to the clinic, and she had never spoken before in her life. She had never heard before in her life. So the prayer team began to pray over her, and God opened up her ears, and they said, Pastor, we think she can hear. And I said, you really do, huh? They said, yeah, God did a miracle here. I said, okay, great. So I came behind her. Here she is standing here facing that way, and I went like this. And that girl immediately turned around and looked at me. She obviously heard what had happened. God had unstopped her ears, healed her hearing, and she could hear for the first time in her life. And then what we did is they said, well, Pastor, she's still not talking. I said, well, listen, guys, you're on a roll. Don't stop now. Pray for her again. Pray for her healing of her speech. Pray that she can talk. And they began to pray for her, and the cameras were rolling right there. And she said, Mama, you couldn't hear it because we didn't have her mic'd. It just didn't work that way, but yet you could see her mouth say, Mama. First time she spoke ever before in her life, that was her mother that was wiping away the tears. It's the first time that she had ever heard her baby talk in her life. That's the miracle working power of God. You see, that 12-year-old girl in the Dominican Republic will never be silenced again. Suddenly, that little girl became dangerous to Satan's kingdom because something supernatural took place in her life that the powers of darkness couldn't silence. You see, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth, in other words, if a sound ever comes out of your mouth that's in agreement with the revelation of who he is in your heart and your life, something supernatural takes place. In other words, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You confess, you believe, and you get saved. So the enemy's goal has always been to silence your sound of faith in your life. I believe it's time for the church to wake up. I believe it's time for us to rise out of the dust, to step up into the battle, to take our stand in the fight of faith and declare, regardless of what's happening in our lives, regardless of how intense the battle becomes, regardless of what may be happening to you and what you see with your own natural eyes, there is a revelation in your heart and your life of who he is and his promises and his word to you, and you need to stand up and refuse to allow the enemy of your souls to silence your sound of faith. I'm telling you what, he's not going to silence mine. I've seen too many miracles. I've seen God's power displayed too many different ways, starting with my own life, to have the enemy be able to rob me of my sound of faith. You see, even after you got saved, the enemy kept trying to silence your sound of faith. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. In other words, if you have faith and make the sound, if your faith ever finds the capacity to produce a sound in your life, then you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and nothing will be impossible for you. Because there is a force that moves things in the unseen realm, and it causes to become manifest in the here and now when we believe and we speak with the sound of faith. You see, the sound that we make becomes the depth finder, friends, that really determines the depth of our faith. And the sound that we make, it can be a barometer of the environment of faith that we're dwelling in. So if the sound is made, we access His grace. If the sound is made, we access His power. If the sound is made, we access God's favor. If the sound is made, mountains are moved. If the sound is made, the supernatural is displayed. You see, I'm a pastor at heart. I'm doing missions work in third world countries. I travel like an evangelist, but I have a pastor's heart. I really do. And as a pastor, I'm tired of watching my Christian friends get all beat up. I'm tired of watching people I love being defeated. I'm tired of watching the church cowl and tremble in the corner in fear. I'm tired of watching people live way down here when Christ wants us to come way up here and sit with Him in heavenly places. That's what the Word of God says. That's exactly what He says. About 4 years ago, I was in Haiti, right after the worst national disaster known to mankind took place. How many of you remember the earthquake? We went there. We were there 4 days after the earthquake took place. It was beyond what you could even imagine. The devastation, the carnage of human life. It's just beyond. We took 58 doctors, nurses, and surgeons, medical personnel, and four pastors. What were us? I mean, we're talking about people who are having amputations. There's things happening. There's nothing that us pastors can do but pray. And we couldn't even speak Creole, so we couldn't even speak the language. So we didn't have interpreters at that time. What are we going to do? Well, by the fourth day, they already had a tent. And that tent was 10 by 12, a Coleman tent for camping. They had that set up about 150, 200 yards away from the hospital. And that's where they put, well, that was the morgue. And so they told us, pastors, you guys go down and take the body bags that are in the morgue, place them on the truck. The truck is then going to take them to the mass grave and bury them. Because these were people, nobody knew who they were, couldn't find any relatives, and they had to be buried. So we went down there and started picking them up. They were all stacked like cords of wood inside that Coleman tent. We started picking them up with respect. We'd take them and place them on the truck. Guys up on the truck would take them and move them closer to the front of the bed, and then we'd keep on repeating that process until suddenly, when we were moving one bag, a sound was made from inside the bag. Let me tell you something, folks. It doesn't matter who you are. When you're moving a body bag with a dead person in it and a sound comes from it, it will get your attention. It will get your attention. Every one of us, it got our attention. We opened up that body bag that had been placed there 4 days earlier, the first day of the earthquake. And here was a man who was still alive. He had been placed in the morgue and he was alive, still alive after 4 days in the morgue. He had a broken back, a broken femur. He was suffering from dehydration and hypothermia, believe it or not. We got him out of that bag, got him up into to the clinic, actually the hospital. They started working on him and immediately, and he made, after 2.5 months, I saw him again, he made a total recovery. Now my question to you is, what if he had never made a sound? What if he had kept quiet and a sound never came from his body bag? You see, I'm tired of allowing the enemy to steal from us. He beats us up and he leaves us for dead in the morgue of life. Like that Haitian, we can't stay silent and let the world or the powers of darkness bury us. We've got to release out of our mouths a sound of faith and let the powers of darkness know and the world around us know that we are not dead. We are alive and we are full of faith. I believe that. You see, I believe God wants us to break out of some of the cycles that we've been living in for way too long that have frustrated your life. And right now, you're caught in that cycle because you've allowed the enemy to silence your voice of faith. You see, if you're ready for faith, your faith to become sight today, somebody say amen. Now listen, there's a sound that comes from those who believe that he is. And that sound isn't relegated to these four walls in this building. We can make a sound here on Sunday. We can make one on Wednesday night. We can make it when we come inside this building. But what about when we're outside of these four walls on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? What about making that sound of faith when things go wrong at work? When a family crisis hits? When the doctor gives you the bad news? How about when the economy has stepped up and slapped you in the face and the bills start stacking up? How about when your relationship seems irreparable and your spouse walks out of you? That's when we struggle the most, and that's totally understandable. But that's when it's time for the sound of faith in our lives. You see, there will be times when our faith will be rocked in our lives. That's okay. If you've ever been in the place where your faith has been shaken, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's okay. It doesn't mean that you've lost out with God. It doesn't mean that you've turned your back on God. It just means that you've got a fight on your hands. It just means that it's time to make a sound. It just means that you cannot let your voice be silenced. And it may take every bit of Holy Ghost strength within you to eke out those two words, I believe, but you've got to speak it. You've got to say it. So what is that sound? In Psalms 118:15, it says, the voice, the New American Standard Version translates the Hebrew word used for voice to be sound. So it says, the sound of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. You see, it doesn't say that the sound of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents or the homes of those who have no problems, no challenges, no obstacles, no all their bills paid, no health issues, and a full 401k. Not what it says. It says the sound of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. And that's who you are. Because 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, you are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus, your Lord. Can you say amen? So if I really believe that there's an accompanying sound that goes with my belief, it's a sound of rejoicing. It is a sound of praise, because it doesn't matter what's going on in my life. I still believe that he is because I believe. What about all the things going on in my life? Listen, those things don't matter. Oh, but you don't understand, Pastor. I do understand. I've got things going on in my life. Last year, I was halfway out to the West Coast. I was on the corner, on the edge of Colorado and Kansas, a long way from here. And the people down at the Cummins dealership told me my engine was dead. You're going to need a new engine. $13,500. Where am I going to get that? You know what we just said, God? You know. You see, I didn't ignore the problem. I just chose to magnify my God in the midst of the difficulty. Why? Because I refused to allow my voice, my sound of faith, to be silenced because of a situation or a circumstance that I'm confronted in my life. The psalmist declared, magnify the Lord with me. Why? Because he's bigger than all of my obstacles. The psalmist said, let us exalt his name together. Why? Because God is bigger than all of our obstacles. You see, if you don't magnify God, then the enemy will magnify your circumstances. And what happens when you magnify the Lord? When you put him under a magnifying glass, you don't change who he is. But you will see him more clearly than you have ever before. You see, when I'm fighting the good fight of faith, I need to see God more clearly than I see my circumstances. You see, I need to see God with this new perspective of what's going on around me. And it may not suddenly change those things or those circumstances around me, but yet it will change how I relate to those things. Why? Because I see God more clearly than I see my problems. Amen. Now, another sound of faith comes from those lips of those who believe that He is the sound of prayer. Faith finds its expression through prayer. Wow. You say, Pastor, that's good preaching. Yeah, that's what I thought. But Pastor, I've been praying. Good. Don't stop. But it's not working. How do you know? Are you God? Are you the one that decides when God's going to answer and bring something to happen in your life? Are you that person? No, that's not you. God says you pray and you pray and you keep believing and you keep praying. Because Jesus declared in Matthew 6:6, but you, when you pray, not if you pray, but when you pray, you go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. But if you never go to the place of prayer, I guarantee you, friends, you will never see the rewards. But what if it takes a long time, Pastor, and I don't see anything? I can promise you this, friends, that if you don't pray, if you don't let faith find its expression through prayer, then you will never see the rewards in your life. Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, Jesus said, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open." You see, if you ask, He will answer. If you seek, you will find Him. If you knock, it will be opened. But if you never make a sound, Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus said this. He said, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." The Bible says He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So there are rewards for those who refuse to allow their faith to be silenced. Do you have speedy gas stations around here? No? I bet you have stores where you can have cards that give you rewards. Anybody have a reward card in their pocket? Sure you do. Because everybody likes rewards. And everybody wants a reward. Rewards are wonderful. There are rewards for those who refuse to allow their faith to be silenced. In the midst of the good fight of faith, you stand praising and rejoicing. And in the midst of the fight, you keep going to that place of prayer and let your voice be heard in heaven and let your voice be heard on earth. Let me tell you about one of the rewards that I saw in the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 9, the woman with the issue of blood. This woman was wealthy, she was rich, and she had this problem. She had a flow of blood, she couldn't stop it. And she went to doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor. Nobody could help her. She still was dying from this flow of blood from her life. What happens when you lose blood in your body? You can only lose so much blood before you become very weak. And if it's a continual thing in your life, you become very anemic. You have no strength whatsoever in your body. This is what happened with this woman with the issue of blood. But she heard about Jesus coming through town, and people were everywhere around Jesus pressing into Him. And there seemed to be no way for her to get to Jesus in spite of all the crowd and all the commotion that was going on. In spite of that, she got on her hands and knees, and she started crawling to the hem of Jesus' garment. Most of you know the story, how the woman got to the hem of Jesus' garment and finally reached up and touched the hem of His garment. And immediately it said something went out of Him, and that woman stood up, and she was healed by His power. Now, what we all talk about this woman, she's known about pressing through the crowd. She's known about her persistence. She's known for her persistence, that she wouldn't give up. But I believe that the reason the woman was on her feet, hands and knees, and not on her feet was because she was so weak and anemic that she couldn't stand and she couldn't fight the crowd. She could barely crawl to get to the hem of his garment. And the incredible thing is not that she was persistent, friends. What we miss is that she made a sound. Huh? That's right. Because in verse 21 it says, she said to herself. Have you ever said something to yourself? Have you ever responded? It's really bad when you talk to yourself and you talk back to yourself. Something's really wrong. But she said to herself, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. She made a sound of what she believed, of the revelation that she had in her heart and her life. And her brother didn't need to hear it. Her sister didn't have to hear it. The crowd didn't have to hear it. The disciples didn't have to hear it. She made a sound. Her faith was demonstrated, and she was healed. Look at somebody next to you and say something. Look to somebody else and say something. You see, friends, the sound doesn't have to be a sophisticated, theologically eloquent prayer of polished dialogue between you and the Almighty Creator of the universe. Just a sound. You know, I find it amazing. She didn't quote scripture. She didn't sing a song. No one spoke a word over her. No one prophesied over her. No one even touched her. She just said, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She declared the revelation that was in her heart that he was who she believed he was, and with a sound of faith, and her revelation met her expectations, and she was healed. Let me tell you about one more person, and then I got to close here. The blind, poor beggar man, Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, verse 47, it tells the entire story. The people heard that Jesus was coming, and he heard that it was Jesus that was coming through the town. And faith comes by hearing, amen? So when he heard that it was Jesus, it awakened something in her life. He didn't make a sophisticated sound. He didn't make a religious sound. He let out a sound of desperation that was driven by the revelation of who Jesus was in his heart and his life. And he refused to let anyone silence him as he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you know that the religious people tried to stop him? In fact, it was the disciples who tried to quiet him down. Let me tell you something, when the sound of faith comes out of you, when faith arises in your heart and your life, and you start believing for something, don't let the religious people around you tell you it can't happen. It's not being arrogant, it's not being rebellious, it's called having faith. The disciples tried to silence Bartimaeus. But he let out a sound of desperation, birthed by faith, that he believed that Jesus could heal him. Don't be afraid to cry out. You see, it doesn't matter if you're so weak that all you can do is crawl to him and touch him and say to yourself, if I can only touch the hem of his garment. Totally different than what Bartimaeus did. Jesus! He cried out in desperation. The raw, unsophisticated cry of a desperate, poor, blind beggar man got Jesus' attention that day. And that day, Bartimaeus was healed because he refused to be silenced. In verse 52, Jesus said, go your way, your faith has made you whole. It was a sound of faith, a cry of desperation. That was the breakthrough for Bartimaeus. What will be the breakthrough for you today? Do you need a breakthrough?
Paul was a great man of faith. I'm closing right now. I don't know what time it is, 10 after 12. Paul was a great man of faith. Paul had a lot to say about faith. In fact, most of the New Testament was written by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul, somehow, because of all that he wrote and all that he said, today in our minds we've got it that our faith will just make everything okay. It's not exactly what the word says, friends. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, Paul said, "For this reason I also suffer these things." Paul was a great man of God, a great man of faith, walking in the will of God, yet he suffered some things. He was imprisoned several times. He was beaten and left for dead several times. He was beaten with 39 lashes three times. And Paul said, "For this reason, I also suffer these things." You see, you may be in a place this morning where life has handed you some things, some junk. And you may be at a place this morning where things in your life don't at all reflect the revelation of what you have in your heart and your life for yourself. And this morning, if Paul were here, he'd be able to stand next to you, put his arm around you, and say, "I can identify with what you're going through." Paul, the great man of God, the great man of faith, dealt with some junk in his life. We all do. But what really catches my eye in 1 Timothy chapter 1 is what he said at the end of all of that. Paul, in the midst of all he was going through, this is what he said. "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." He wasn't ashamed. Wasn't going to let anybody throw any condemnation down upon him because he was imprisoned, beaten with rods and sticks, stoned and left for dead. Nuh-uh. He said, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." In other words, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change who I believe in. And you see, that's what faith is about. It's about no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what circumstances and situations are surrounding you and have confronted you and have ended up in the middle of the road as an obstacle in your road of life, it doesn't matter, whatever those things might be, you still say, "You know what? God is still with me. God is still for me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I still believe in him. I'm still going to reach for the hem of his garment. I'm still going to cry out to him, 'Jesus!'" No matter what takes place. And some of you may be dealing with some junk today. You see, I didn't come here to preach a missions message. Came here to preach a message of deliverance and faith and hope in your life. And this is the message, without a doubt, that God gave me for this body of believers. And this morning, some of you are dealing with stuff and you're wondering, Jesus, do you see what I'm going through? Do you see what's happening? Let me tell you something, he knows. He knows every hair on our head. He knows every fiber of our being. He knows everything that's taking place. But don't let those things overpower in your mind or in your life or in your heart who God is. In the midst of it, magnify him. Because when you magnify him, you see him more clearly. Then you see your circumstances. Can you say amen? I want to ask you,
If you're going through some things this morning and you need Jesus to show up, if you're going through some things, it doesn't matter what they are. You know, oftentimes we preachers, we go through a list and we tell you if you're doing this, if this is... Listen, if you're going through some stuff, some junk, and you need Jesus to show up in the midst of it, don't let the religious leaders silence you. Don't let the crowd silence you. And don't let your state of weakness keep you from getting on your knees and touching the hem of his garment this morning. If you need Jesus to show up strong on your behalf because you're dealing with some junk today, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand. I don't want you to hesitate. Hesitation tells me either that you're afraid or that you don't believe. So don't hesitate. If you believe that he is who he said he is, and you've got junk that you need Jesus to show up in the midst of, and you're ready to have a nevertheless moment like Paul, on the count of three, I want you to stand your feet. One, two, three. Wherever you are, say, "That's me, Pastor. I need Jesus to show up." My gosh. If you're standing, I'd like you to come up here. I feel like I'm preaching in the living room this morning, that we're all family. Can we, just those of you that stood, could you guys just come on up here for a moment? This is one of the reasons I love coming to this church, is because you guys, you're family. You're so close-knit. And things are happening here, and I just believe God wants to do the supernatural amongst us right now. Would you just lay hands on the person next to you and just begin to believe for them, not for your own situation, but for the other person right now? Come on, come on, come on. Just begin to pray. Just begin to pray. Come on, pray. Just pray. Pray. Just pray for them right now. Shoro batasara bakara batosoro batosoro batosi.